All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. And we've the return of the GAA Championship. Cork take on Limerick in their Munster football clash tomorrow. We'll get to that in a moment. But earlier today, Cork jockey Paul Townend won the English Grand National on 5-1 favourite I Am Maximus, owned by JP McManus and trained by Woody Mullins. One lucky punter scooped up £500,000 after putting £100,000 on the favourite. Drinks on that punter tonight. Joy for the Liz Gould jockey Paul Townend. And here he is speaking to ITV Racing after he crossed the line.
Ed, he has done it again. Paul, what can you say about this great warrior?
He's tough, isn't he? I think the cheek piece has definitely helped in the middle of the race. It didn't help me going to the start. He was alive. But when I jumped off, I got in a nice rhythm again. Still didn't probably travel with the enthusiasm of the first year. But just thought the cheek pieces helped me in the middle part of the race, or definitely the three quarters pace. And I wasn't going to, seeing the ones gone in front, I wasn't going to be the one to go chasing them. I had enough going okay in front of me, and I was able to get a lead to the elbow, and I didn't know where that loose horse was going to go.
Paul, to win two Grand Nationals, but to finish second, to stick with him when you've got so many options, you've always believed in this horse.
He's a really, really good horse, that's why. I couldn't. Obviously, Grangetair West preparation was really good with Bobby Joe and Nick Rockett. I won that in him last year. He came here and beat me. But this lad wasn't telling me not to ride him, so I couldn't not ride him.
What makes him the champion that he is?
So good. Such an engine. He galloped to the end of the world for you. Privileged to have had to do with him. What a horse.
And for you, the Grand National, where does it sit in everything you've achieved?
It's right up there. It's Grand Nationals and Gold Cups. They're the pinnacle of our sport. We got them both.
You got them both. Paul Townend, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, great stuff there from the Cork man. Elsewhere, things not going too good for Cork as Galway lead Cork by 5 points in the Lidl Ladies National Football League final. Jonathan Higgins has the report for us there.
It's half time in the Lidl Ladies Football Division 1 League final, where Galway lead Cork by 7-2. In difficult, wet and windy conditions at the TUS Gaelic Grounds, it was Galway who started the better and dominated the opening 30 minutes of action. Nicola Ward had an early goal-scoring opportunity, and while the effort was saved, it was a sign of things to come. Both sides have been guilty of some bad wides, and indeed Galway have spurned another couple of tangible goal-scoring opportunities. Significantly though, they've inflicted a lot of damage on the Cork kick-out, and have 5 different scores to date, including 3 points from midfielders Niamh and Siobhan Dively. For Cork, a fine individual effort from wing-back Amy Corcoran is her sole score from play. Half-time score, Galway 7 points, Cork 2.
Disappointment there for Cork at the moment. It's also a disappointment for Ireland as they've lost 12-33 to England in their first match of this season's Six Nations. Susanna Mullen of Off the Ball reports from Twickenham.
Time here in the Allianz Stadium in Twickenham, and it's England 33, Ireland 12. A much better 40 minutes from Ireland, who simplified their game plan and started to gain some momentum off their carries. After a stunning try from English winger Jess Breach on the 50-minute mark, Ireland found their strength to march a mole 10 metres up the pitch before Anna McGann crossed over in the corner. England hit back immediately with 2024 World Player of the Year Ellie Kildon, who finally found her legs after a quiet game in her standards to sweep past the Irish defence and touch the ball down. Ireland weren't done yet though, and after finally finding their phases in attack, Captain Aaron King spotted some free grass from close range and carried hard. In front of the post, out half Dan O'Brien had no trouble with the conversion. Ireland found their momentum in the latter stages of this game, but it was too little, too late. The world champions had stretched the lead too far. A dream homecoming for this English side in Twickenham in front of 77,000 fans as they showed why they are the best in the business. Full time on this Saturday afternoon Six Nations battle, and despite positives in the second half, it's back to the drawing board for the Irish coaches. I'm Susanna Mullen, and it's England 33, Ireland 12.
77,000 in attendance for that one. It was great to see as well. A new record. Moving on, and most Corkites might be on Cork's clash with Tip in the hurling next week, and there'd be 77,000 in a simple stadium if we were left. The ticket situation is looking fairly dire, lads. But tomorrow in Super Value, Parky Huive, Cork take on the Limerick Footballers at 2 p.m. So earlier in the week, Ger McCarthy was lucky enough to catch up with Cork boss John Cleary.
John Cleary, we're at that stage of the year. The National League is behind us and we're now focusing on the Munster Championship. But just before we talk about the big game against Limerick, how satisfied are you with the way the squad performed, the consistent levels that you got? I know you didn't get over the line in Croke Park, but the steps that the team has taken this year in promotion, you must be delighted where you're at right now.
Yeah. Obviously, it was a very, very tough league. And we knew going into it, we'd really have to perform. And I think for most cases, we did. You know, we actually finished top of the league in the regular season and just fell a bit short in the meet game. We did perform well, I thought, on the day as well. Maybe lost our way a small bit in the second half, but that's the way games are going now at the moment. You know, you have your period of dominance and then the opposition has it. So overall, we were disappointed to lose the final on the day, but very pleased with the overall league situation, and to get promotion was our number one aim. We got that, and a bit disappointed, I said, the last day against Meath, but you know, overall we'd have to be happy enough.
We've just been talking to Paul Walsh as well, just about the boost that the crowd and the atmosphere that you generated in Parky Ring, and to generate hopefully the similar atmosphere we'll get in Parky Creeve this weekend. But did you feel as well that the crowds, they're back now again, like they've realised that this team is on the up, going well, improving like you wanted them to, and getting out of Division 2, as you know better than anyone else, is an incredibly difficult thing to do. But there was real genuine support there, and in Croke Park on the National League final day, that there's always been a certain cohort of Cork senior football supporters, but they seem to be getting more and more coming now because they believe in this team.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think it started with the Cavan game, you know, and there was a big crowd came in. Hurling was afterwards for the second half and that. And I think, look, we were 7 points down. It was no coincidence that there was a big crowd there in the last 10 minutes, and they roared us on and got us over the line. And definitely, like the Meath game, playing at Marky Ring, there was a fantastic atmosphere, and I think came down to small margins, and look, the crowd roared us home that day, we think, as well. And even the Kildare match, and look, even above in Tyrone, there was a very, very big Cork crowd there, and they were really vocal. And I think even coming down the home straight that day, Tyrone didn't have anything to play for. Our season was on the line in one respect, and I think the help of the crowd that travelled up there definitely helped us, and it's been great all year. And as you said there, hopefully now it continues into the championship.
How pleased were you to come out the right side of so many tight games as well? Because that's a sign of a good team and a team on the up. Because there's been in times in the past when you were in control of games, especially in the National League, and they just slipped away from you for whatever reason. That's not been the case this year. There's been a consistent level of performance that we've seen. I mean, obviously there's slippages, you don't win every game, but the consistency, is that one of the things that pleases you most?
Yeah, I suppose it is. Look, this team has been on the road, you know, 3-4 years, and you know, gained a lot of experience, and I think us as management as well, I've gained a lot of experience. So, you know, there are things maybe we do now coming down the home straight that we do slightly different than we did a year ago or 2 years ago, and I think that's helping. You know, if you get close and you go to the well a few times, and you have to learn, and I think that's what we've done. And you know, I think coming down in every game now towards the end, we are fairly composed, but it has taken a few hard knocks to be able to do that, and hopefully again, as the season goes on, we can put that to good use.
Another positive ahead of the Limerick game and going into the Munster Championship, how difficult has it been to settle on a final squad going into, because you had a good look at a lot of young players. Darragh Sheedy is the obvious one, he's got a good run, but you had a good look at players pre-season and through the National League. How difficult is it to settle now? It's a good thing, it's a good problem to have, you know, the 15, whatever, but the 20 to 25, there's quite a lot of fellas putting their hands up for selection now.
Look, absolutely. Look, I suppose any management team will tell you, you know, when you have most fellas fit, it's a difficult thing to do. And we're lucky enough, you know, to pick the first 15 is difficult. And then, you know, we to put the 26 together is also difficult. We have very good players that are not getting on the 26 at the moment, that are going well in training, and it's just that the others are going maybe a small bit better. And look, it's a great problem to have in one respect, and I suppose this year we've been luckier than other years with injuries. There were times we had 8, 9, 10 injuries, you know, that we were lucky. This year we just got a spate of it around the Derry game, and but they were shorter, and then we knew that, and they've cleared up. And but look, you never know. Go up next Sunday and get four or five, and that's where your squad comes into play. And that's, you know, it's great that those guys are pushing the guys that are you know, playing week in, week out, and that's giving the performances that we got this year.
One of the things I noticed throughout the National League heading into the Munster Championship, we'll see if it continues, teams are defending the arc in numbers now. You have to keep the three up, whatever, but have you seen a change from last year's National League, this year's National League? Teams are varying how they're defending the arc, and they're trying to break, obviously everyone's trying to break at pace. You had some serious defences that you had to break down. You had to go like up north, certainly against Meath, that fantastic win at home at Parkering as well. Any differences that you've seen over the last 12 months now that teams are approaching things a little differently? Yeah.
Well, look, this is the first full year of the rules, of the new rules. Last year, you know, up until about the fourth or fifth game, the goalie could come out and there was tweaks made to the rules there. That was a huge difference when you were 12 against 11. It's now 11 against 11. And every management, no more than ourselves, have been plotting since last October, November, you know, how to defend against it, how to break it down on the other side. So I think you're seeing slightly different tactics and ways of doing that, because coaches have got their hands on the rules now and tried out things, and I think you'll probably see more of them now as the championship is going into four. Like I'm sure a lot of teams will have kept something up their sleeve to try and pull out for the championship. So yeah, it has been different this year, but at least we've had all the rules for the whole competition, and you know, I think that has helped.
You're involved in GAA football so long, John, at this stage, you will not underestimate Limerick, nor would you or can you. And one of the things we've mentioned as well, you've had a fantastic National League, didn't work out at the end, but you've got to build on that now. You can't let those levels of performances drop, I'd imagine. What's the message been to the players over the last few weeks? Because Limerick have nothing to lose. Cork have to perform on the day, and has that just been the simple message, lads? We've got to hit our stride straight away.
Yeah, without a doubt. Look, the 2 days after the meet match, we put that to bed, and we put the league to bed, and you know, we can look back on promotion when the season is over. But for, you know, since then, Limerick has been the only thing on our radar. The last 2 years, you know, they've been toe to toe with us for long periods of time. 2 years ago, they led here by a point at half time. Last year, they played very well, unlucky to get a man sent off before half time. We had an extra man for the whole second half, and it took us until the last 10 minutes to really, you know, push on and get the extra couple of scores. So look, we've been playing Limerick, you know, the last 4 or 5 years since I've been involved, and every time we've never got an easy game. They will come down here, you know, nothing to lose. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at us, and we know if we don't perform in any championship game anyway, teams are good enough out there that you'll get turned over. So we hopefully will be ready. That's the message going out, and we know we've got to perform ourselves on Sunday.
And just finally, on Sunday, you were talking about managers having something up their sleeve. Can we expect something out of the Cork setup as well?
No, I don't think so. You know what I mean? At this stage, we'll see what, you know, how it pans out, and you know, we've an odd trick or two you'd be trying, but sometimes things don't work either. So you know, we've been doing things in training, and we'll see now what next Sunday brings, and take it from there.
Well, for everybody on the Big Red Bench, best luck, John, for this Munster Championship.
No problem, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, best of luck to John Cleary and Coe tomorrow. Coe being one of Paul Walsh player.
We're here in the bowls of Super Value Park at Cueve. It's on the eve of another Munster Football Championship, Paul, and Cork fans are excited. It's that time of the year again when everybody's looking forward to the long summer afternoons and evenings, and hopefully a long, long Cork summer as well. From the players' point of view, though, you finished the National League. How have your preparations been going ahead of the Limerick game?
Yeah, all good, Joe. I suppose we were quite happy with how we performed throughout the league. I think we had 6 wins out of 7. And of course, follow up short in the final against Meath fortnight ago. But no, the mood is good. Training's going well. It's good to have everyone available, full panel available at all times. It makes a big difference, you know. But no, looking forward now to Sunday and kickstarting the Munster Championship.
The National League coming out, you know, promotion and the boost that you got, and the way the crowds have gotten behind you as well. I know you've spoken about it before, but now that you've had a chance to reflect, like, there is a lot of momentum building. It's just momentum. We're coming into the Munster Championship. We're going to keep it nice and even, and an even keel. I'm sure John Cleary would want it that way. But the players must be aware now that the fans are behind them 100% after such a consistent showing this year.
Absolutely. You know, including myself, we all want Cork football to win, like, you know. So winning's a habit. We want to keep winning as much as possible. But yeah, look, over the last 2-3 years, our goal has always been to get promotion out of Division 2 up to Division 1, because that's what you want to be playing week in, week out. We finally got that this year, but we're under no illusions that the Munster Championship will bring us on challenges. So start with Sunday, looking forward to Limerick, looking at what they're going to bring. And yeah, just preparing as best we can now this week, and hopefully start with the right foot forward on Sunday.
And just starting on the right foot forward, the consistency, that word I'm going to use again, like, there's obviously a bond between the players. We've seen that. That's not just a cliche. You've been through a lot together, and getting out of Division 2 is a real achievement. It didn't work out in Croke Park on the day, but the benefit of playing in Croke Park, Paul, for inter-county footballer, I would imagine you can't play there often enough. I know you wanted to win, you didn't get the win, but the experience of that, and some of the players that hadn't experienced it before, how important is that heading into the Munster Championship?
Yeah, like, as you said there now, like, that bond, it comes even more so from winning, like, you know, and having that feeling, and have that maybe half an hour, 40 minutes afterwards in the dressing room, like, you know, like, you can't beat that feeling, as the old saying goes, if you could bottle it, like, you know, you take whatsoever. But, yeah, like, this is great, like, the likes now of young Dara Sheedy and fellas like that, you know, their first day out in the big stage, like, Croke Park, like, it is a special place above there, and it's nice to be up there. But, again, from a player's point of view, and from even the team, we want to be playing Croke Park more and more each year, like, you know, so, yes, it's nice to get there above there for a league final, but our goal and our aim this year is to get there more and more, and including next year as well. So yeah, that's where we're looking to do it.
And you know better than anybody as an inter-county footballer, you know, today's success, you can fall flat on your face very quickly if you're not doing the right things, doing the things in training that got you to this point up to Division 1. Limerick can never ever be underestimated, because, sorry, now another cliche, they have nothing to lose at this weekend. Cork have it all to lose. But is there a steelness about the team and about the panel this year? Not that it wasn't ever there, but more of a steelness and a more of a belief, I suppose, is what I'm talking about heading into it, while also giving Limerick their, you know, their due, and not taking it for granted. You're in a good place, and you can't deny that. I know you didn't win the National League final, but you are in a good place compared to the last couple of years. That's got to be a help when you're hitting training now this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if we were to put ourselves in the position that we were in plenty of times ourselves, like Limerick, where, you know, the league campaign didn't exactly go to plan and stuff like that, but we're under no illusions. I think we're going to look at the last day and the two teams that got promoted to Division 2, that won Division 3, Wexford and Down. Yeah. Limerick lost it down by 1 point, and they actually beat Wexford. Mm-hmm. So that just shows the calibre of the team that Limerick are. And also, we're under no illusions regarding that. But just regards that consistency part and being a part and just being down in line with the team, I think we're together now. It was 4 years this stage with the same management. There's been maybe one or two changes and things like that, but the kind of core group of players has been there all along. And I just building that year and year and year, I suppose that's just adds to that part, being familiar and just everyone in rowing the same direction to go to the same place, you know, so that adds to that small bit.
Munster Championship is special. I know the Munster Hurling Championship is its own speciality, but down through the summers, not just Cork and Kerry, but Tip and Limerick and Clare have all had their day, and Waterford too, they'll come again. But from your own perspective growing up, was the Munster Championship special to you, and, like, do you get that extra buzz when you're playing in it?
Absolutely. The Munster Championship is a great championship. It's great playing your next door neighbours, your so-called rivals as well, like, you know. But I can't draw any, maybe, of course, you all go back to the Cork and Kerry games, yeah. Obviously, but even playing days, I mean, like, you know, it is the first kind of, it really kick-start the summer of football, like, you know, it's the start of the championship. You always look at Munster first, the likes of Clare, Limerick, Tipperary, and, of course, in Kerry. So, Munster Championship is special, and yes, one definitely will be looking forward to.
It's going to be a big crowd down at Super Valley Park at Cueve. There was big crowds all the way through the National League campaign. Now, you played a fair shot of home games in Park Ewing because it was suiting you. You liked the, like, smaller atmosphere, and it generated that atmosphere. I'm thinking back to that Meath game and what an atmosphere you had that night. And on the road as well, you showed your steeliness, you showed your improvement. Like, you went, like, to Tyrone, you went to Derry, and Derry didn't work out, but on the road in the National League this year, how much of a bond is formed, or is there much of a bond formed when you're on the road together with the lads? Like, because you're in each other's pockets for a long time of the year. I'm trying to say that in a positive sense, but you know what I'm getting at, that, you know, you've been on the road, as you said, for 4 years together, you know each other, but coming through adversity and doing so well in the league this year, it has given you a platform, hopefully, to kick on in the Munster Championship. Do those away days help because you get to spend more time with them, or are you just sick of the lads at that point?
I suppose it's nearly harder not to learn more from a fella spending fucking 6.5 hours inside a bus with him. But I know, look, definitely, I mean, The days you go up, like, even the trips up north, like the days where there might be only maybe a handful of Cork fans in the crowd or in the stand and stuff like that, you know, when you do get the win up there, like, it does make things that bit more special, because you know that it's the team, and in that core of, you know, the real diehard fans, like, they're the ones who are really doing it for, you know. But yeah, like those away days are great. Of course, they're tough when you do you come out the wrong side of it. Like for example, Derry this year, and trying to get homed in and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. No, it's not the best, but no, it definitely adds to the bond. Definitely adds to the whole group as a whole. And yeah, just looking forward again, like bringing all that, like go back to the old saying: you either win or learn. Sorry. So yeah. From all those tough days, which, you know, you always take bits and pieces from all them, like, you know, and hopefully just to bring it all to the floor and just come back in the following day and make sure try and be as best you can.
And just finally, obviously, all eyes and focus are on Limerick. They have been since you came out of the National League. You enjoyed the run. You got to the final, played in Croke Park. You give Limerick their due. They're never ever easy to break down. And you're going to have to be at your best that day. But I suppose, has the mantra from John and the backroom team been, we got to perform first before we worry about the result?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Like even going back to the last 2 years, we played Limerick out here, was it 2 years ago? I went in at half-time, we were down a point. And then last year, it was nip and tuck for a bit. Limerick got maybe a fortuitous red card. And then that kind of set us going. So we're under no illusions. This Limerick side are a good team, fine team. It's come to a stage now where most teams are drastically, yeah. You know, there's no bad team anymore, and there's no team you can take for granted or anything like that. So we're under no illusions that Limerick are certainly will able to play. We'll do a bit of homework down now tonight and maybe Thursday on them, see what we can put in place for them. But yeah, I'm not looking forward now to a good battle.
A good battle indeed, and best luck for the remainder of the year, Paul, from everybody in the Big Red Bench.
Yeah, great stuff from Paul. Best luck, and best luck to all the fans there travelling to Super Value Park Cove tomorrow for the 2:00 throw-in, Cork versus Limerick in their first round of the Munster Football Championship. There has been 2 goals at Anfield. We'll see you as them.
It's Liverpool 2, Fulham 0, and 2 quick-fire goals from Armisloch's side have put them in control here the first half. And Mo Salah's just got their second. But once again, Rio and Gamera was the orchestrator, picking up the ball on the left-hand side, put the cross in, Gakpo controlled it, laid it off to Salah, and with a cool finish, he slotted across Bert Leno into the left-hand bottom corner. It's Liverpool 2, Fulham 0.
Finishes up for the ad break. We have Emma Cleary of the Cork Senior LGFA team speaking to Rachel Sheehan of Off the Ball about the Rebelettes year ahead.
Emma Cleary, Cork captain. We're here at the little launch of the Ladies Football League finals. How are you?
Good, yeah. Great to be up here and looking forward to the weekend.
You were also here last year at Cork, except in the Division 2 final. It's crazy to see that yourselves and Galway coming from Division 2 finals last year to Division 1 final this year. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's funny enough, the two of us have ended up in a Division 1 final this year. But look, I think we've both just kind of put out consistent and a consistently campaign and some good performances, so we've both found ourselves in a league final now.
It was probably, I think from my memory anyway, the most enjoyable and chaotic Division 1 league campaign I can remember, like going down to the final day, permutations everywhere, but you had the luxury of not even having to win in the final day because you got off to such a strong start.
There was a few funny results across the board, week in, week out. Even us, like our first day, you know, we only drew with Kildare, and like at the time we probably were slightly disappointed with that, but looking back, that one point has kept us above everyone else on the table, and how vital that one point actually ended up being and stuff. And I suppose even look, Dublin the last day beat us in the last round and still ended up going down, you know, as you said, a few kind of crazy results all over the place, but a really competitive Division 1, and like hopefully we'll benefit from all those games going into Championship now.
Yeah, do you think that's something that'll really set you up going into Championship this year better than last year, having competitive games week in, week out under your belt?
Yeah, I think so. I think we you know, we probably coasted through a bit of the Division 2 last year, now played an extremely tough Galway side in the final and came out the wrong side of that, but I think we just probably were a bit off the mark by the time we hit Munster Championship and we came up against Kerry and Waterford there. So look, hopefully that will stand to us now when we face Tip in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Galway again coming up this weekend. Is there a bit of a revenge on your minds from the Division 2 final last year?
Look, I think so. Like, we'll definitely want to right a few wrongs from the final last year, but you know, we know this is a completely new game, a completely new year, and you know, a lot of new players probably on our side, but maybe on both sides too. So look, we're really looking forward to it.
And you've had the chance to really use a lot of the panel, especially coming into that final day against Dublin, when you know you didn't have to win, but game in, game out, there's been wholesale changes made at every chance. Is that something that really keeps the competition alive at training?
I think that's it. It's we kind of, the for the games during the league, we didn't know kind of what the team would be week in, week out, because as you said, it was so competitive at training, and I think a lot of girls put their hands up across the board and across the league, and like that's what you want going into championship, and I suppose that's what the league is for, to find out these things and to try players and try different things, and I think we've done that throughout the league.
Cork have always had a strong panel, always had strong players, skillful players. What is it that's clicked for you this year? Like, apart from that Dublin game, undefeated so far, really strong performances, what's different?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think it's probably a number of factors this year. I suppose we've made a few changes to our management team. We brought in Chris Hannan there from St. Bal's as coach, and I think he's been excellent. We've a new S&C, Ross Howell from Douglas, who's had us in tip-top shape. You know, we put down a hard winter. And then I think the new rules have probably suited us as well. I've kind of said this before, we're probably not the biggest and strongest team in the world, so we're probably kind of a bit fitter and faster. So I think even like the solo and go and the three up and stuff has kind of suited our forwards. So I think it's probably a number of things. And then I think a bit of confidence from winning those few early games as well, I think gave us good momentum, and hopefully we can keep that going into the weekend.
Even for yourself as well, like confidence with Aroge, going back to last year, like finally getting over the line in the club championship, is that something that feeds into your own mindset coming into the Cork jersey in whatever bleak January pre-season you have?
I think so. Like, I suppose personally, yeah, getting over the line with Aroge this year was unbelievable. It was our fifth year in a row, and again went to a replay, you know, such a tough battle with Ahada, but I think the club championship in Cork it's such a high standard. There's nothing between the teams, and like, even I just think the county finals this year, the drawn game and the replay were just at such a high standard, and I think that has kind of fed into the Cork panel this year. You see the girls across the different clubs that we have, and I think the club football in Cork is at a really high standard, and I think, you know, we're benefiting from it now.
And in terms of a management team, we've got Valerie Mulcahy in there, and is there an expectation almost being from Cork in the history of Cork ladies football, such a strong team, that you should be winning All Irelands automatically? People assume that from a Cork football team, but is it really important then to have someone like Valerie in the setup to say, like, this is the legacy that we come from, this is what we can strive for?
Yeah, look, I think so. Like, Joan Val is great, and to have her expertise, especially as a forward as well, is great. And I think the one thing she gives off is confidence, and she always she leads by example. You know, she's always telling us to be confident, which is probably something we've lacked in the last number of years. And I suppose, you know, we grew up looking at that great Cork team, but I suppose we have to put our own stamp on it as well, and we have to, you know, try and make a bit of history ourselves. You know, we can't keep looking back to the past at them. We have to work hard and, you know, try and achieve what we can. And, you know, it's great to have Val there and set up to look up to.
And you're probably, I mean, you're the captain, still so young, but one of the more senior players on the team. But when you're looking at the other end of the things as well, you've got like the likes of Shauna Kelly and Anya O'Sullivan have been incredible so far this year on either end of the pitch. Having that experience is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's probably what we've found throughout the league this year. We've got a good balance of some new girls coming in, the likes of Grace Murphy and even having Rachel Leahy back. You know, they're young girls on the panel, but then we still can look to the likes of, as you said there, Shauna, Melissa Duggan, Mara O'Callaghan and stuff. And I think we've probably struck a nice balance of that throughout the league. So I do think you need a bit of both.
Yeah. And just in terms of players then that you might have lost, the first time that Cork has had no dual players, years in, I can't remember the specific number of years now, but losing Libby and Hannah Looney and maybe Aoife Healy heading off to Oz as well. Do you find that you fill those gaps okay, that the competition is still there?
I think so. Look, do you know, I think it's probably getting harder and harder to do the dual. I know I'd never be able to do it, but look, I think, do you know, I suppose we've dealt with it quite well up until now, and I think some other girls on the panel have really stepped up this year, having lost those girls, and you know, all we had to do was we just had to get on with it. There was nothing we could do about it. So as I said, I think other girls on the panel have really stepped up.
And as of last weekend now, Cork had three teams in league finals, two of them have lost. The mantle rests with you now, and I know yourself, your own personal collection, your dad's the manager of the Cork footballers. Will there be a bit of bragging rights now if you come away with the sole final win?
Yeah, hopefully now. We're the last ones left now to try and get a trophy, but yeah, no, it would be great if we could. It's great that the three Cork teams were in the league finals, so yeah, be nice to bring home the trophy anyway.
And just in terms of that, just with the new rules, do you learn a lot from your dad, having the lads game had that extra year of the rules experience? Does he teach you a lot, or is it kind of an unspoken rule, you don't talk about it at the dinner table?
No, we probably do. We probably all we talk about is football, to be fair. But no, I suppose I'd watch a lot of the men's game anyway, so you'd watch a lot of the rules over the last couple of years, and you know, they made such a difference to the men's game. And I think the ladies' game was kind of going that way as well. It was becoming probably very defensive, like too defensive and stuff. So I think the new rules have been a great thing. So yeah.
Brilliant. Emma, just a final word maybe on the Galway side that you face. They also had the last game in hand, you know, so they were kind of able to play the panel out in the last game. So tough. They've been scoring a lot of goals, and with that three breach, do you think that's their biggest threat, their goal scoring? I know they're dangerous across the field, but their forwards are sharp.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose we know Galway so well at this stage. We played them a lot, I suppose, in Division 2 last year and even the All-Ireland stages. But yeah, I think I mentioned it earlier as well, their goal threat up front. Even the day we played them in Parky Ring, you know, they scored two goals just after half-time. So we were lucky enough to claw back from them. So we will look, we'll have to try and nullify that for the weekend. But yeah, I think they've probably threats all over the pitch, but it's just see how we can manage that at the weekend.
And you're looking forward to a summer of football?
Yeah, really looking forward to it, and hopefully a long summer ahead.
Yeah, great stuff. And what a comeback in the LGFA final against the aforementioned Galway. Cork win that one 2-8 to 9 points. More on this to come. Joe McCarthy will have the lowdown for us. That's all we have time for on the first half of the show. Don't go anywhere.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. Just a reminder on that Grand National, I Am Maximus, ridden by Cork jockey, the Lisgoolman, Paul Townend, took that one home, owned by JP McManus and trained by Willie Mullins. But what a comeback, though, in the LGFA, as we were talking about before the break. With 48 minutes on the clock, it was Galway 9 points to Cork, Cork's 5, an incredibly low-scoring one in that one. But 12 minutes later, Cork going to win us 2-9 to 8 points. What a comeback there. We'll have to get more from John McCarthy, who I'm sure is buzzing on the ground with that one. Speaking of Cork winning, Cork maintained their unbeaten run and qualified for this year's All-Ireland Under-23 Camogie Championship semi-finals at MTU Cork on Friday evening. Troy Wallace's side led from pillar to post, overcoming Waterford to register a third win in as many championship games. As a result, the Rebels are through to the last four of the All-Ireland Under-23 Championship ahead of their two remaining round-robin matches against Kilkenny and Tipperary. So after the match, the Big Red Bench's Joe McCarthy spoke to Cork manager Jerry Wallace and midfielder Amy McCarthy. But first, here's Joe's report from MTU.
Cork 2-21, Waterford 3 points. Cork maintained their unbeaten run and qualified for the All-Ireland Under-23 Camogie Championship semi-finals with victory over Waterford at MTU Cork on Friday evening. Jerry Wallace's side led from pillar to post, overcoming a determined Waterford to register a third win in as many championship outings. As a result, the Rebels are through to the last four ahead of their two remaining round-robin games against Kilkenny and Tipperary. Amid awful weather conditions early on, Cork managed to build a 1-5 to 0-1 lead inside the opening 10 minutes. Niamh Nakhnabola and Rona Drone exchanged scores before Ciara Morrison edged the Rebels back in front. The same player wasted a goal opportunity prior to Ciara Golden and Niamh Nakhnabola splitting the posts. Next, Amy Shepherd gained possession and raced clear before finding the bottom corner of Waterford's net. Things were looking good for Cork when another Morrison point made it 1-5 to 0-1, but Waterford stuck doggedly to their task and a drawn 3-45 reduced the deficit. Molly Carney had a goal chance saved by Cork goalkeeper Anna Carney before Nakhnabola and two Shepherd scores sent Cork in 1-8 to 0-3 ahead at half time. Gerry Wallace's side completely dominated the second period. A rampant Cork added 1-13 and prevented a tiring Waterford from increasing their total. Ciara Golden nested Cork's second goal of the evening in a half. Nakhnabola, Shepherd, Amy McCarthy, Rose Murphy, Emer Dignan and Orla Crimmin fired over a flurry of superb points. Tougher test lie ahead, but last year's All-Ireland Under-23 runners-up Cork are in good shape, heading towards the business end of this year's championship. Final score from MTU Cork, Cork 2-21, Waterford 3 points. For the Big Red Bench, I'm Gerry McCarthy.
Yeah, we'll get to the audio from Gerry Wallace and Amy McCarthy, but I just want to get the report from Jonathan Higgins, who was there at the LGFA Division 1 final.
It's all over in the TUS Gaelic grounds, where Cork are Little Ladies Football Division 1 champions after defeating Galway by 2-8 to 9 points. A dramatic late comeback from Cork secures their 13th title. Galway had dominated the opening half and led by 7-2 at the interval. Led by their full forward Katie Quirk, Cork turned things around in the second half, and indeed Quirk took full advantage of a poor Galway kick-out to secure their first goal. Cork's second goal will leave Galway having nightmares tonight. A punched effort from Rachel O'Regan was dropping short into the goal before a Galway defender tried to intervene and carry the ball over a goal line in the process. It gave Cork the lead for the first time with minutes to go, and Katie Quirk and Áine Terry O'Sullivan wrapped things up in style. Full-time score, Cork 2-8, Galway 9 points.
Yeah, smash and win for the LGFA team there. Back to the Cork Camogie Under-23s, and here's manager Gerry Wallace.
Gerry Wallace, good victory tonight, really comprehensive score, but what pleased you most? Was it just the way you kicked on in the second half and didn't take the foot off the gas?
I think so, Ger. I think as well what pleased me the most was we were able to change up the starting 15 from the word go tonight again, and then we were able to get the subs on as well. We got on 5 subs. Now, one of those substitutions was forced on us because Keely Goulding had a small issue with a hamstring, but I think that'll be okay, and that was a medical situation we were managing. But I was really pleased with the work rate. I had said it to the girls before the match in the start that Waterford would certainly make it difficult for us, would be very competitive in the first half, which they were, but I said to our girls to remain patient, that we were going to build to the success of the night, and that's what we did. You know,
you've got some good shooters up in that team. Amy Shepherd, Liam Nakhnabola over the top scorer side, Ciara Golden as well, but throughout the team they're not afraid to get forward, they're not afraid to take a shot.
Well, I'm encouraging that in training, and we're working on it in the training ground. I don't want them to be playing standing hurling. I want different triangles being made and runners coming off the shoulders and not afraid to attack. I think there's a great maturity after coming in them, in the sense that when one goes in, we've won holding the line as well, which means that we're staying defensively solid too. But you've got to give great credit to our full back line in the first half, Ger. It was a great test for them, like, to, you know, from our goalkeeper Anna there, you know, to Maeve the Burka, Amy O'Riordan there, like, you know, they were absolutely tremendous. Like, but Aoife Barrett, to me tonight, I was absolutely thrilled, because I had her at minor back there in the 19-20 campaigns and that, or the 21s, and like, the thing tonight was she's coming back into her own form again, and that game out there will bring her on and, you know, give her great confidence. And it also going to give myself and the management team great headaches, because like, we had another, you know, 5 or 6 girls sitting down tonight, yeah, and we had more girls on the extended panel that weren't here tonight, so there's great competition for places for Cork 23 team.
There certainly is, if that's the depth of talent that you've got. But you've got 2 more games now. You're into the semi-finals because of tonight's results. You don't know who you're playing or what will be happening yet, but you've got Kilkenny and Tip. This is an opportunity, you know, to test out other players.
Very much so, Ger, and we're not afraid to do that either. We'll certainly try and hold the strength of the team going to the Kilkenny next weekend, but we're certainly going to look at more girls, you know, that haven't got game time, or that did get game time in the Munster competition when the weather was really bad. But that's my philosophy. I want to make sure that we give everyone an opportunity, that we give them a good opportunity and a fair opportunity. Like, I suppose, look, Ger, we played a match against the Cork Miners last Tuesday night as well, and we got to play all the subs and all the extended players from that. So like, we're really trying to evolve and develop the talent that's there and available for Cork. They're a wonderful group of young women, so they are. They gave up their Friday night, we saw it out there. What a sparkling performance tonight for Cork.
It certainly was. Well done, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
Here's Ger speaking to Amy McCarthy.
Amy McCarthy, good victory tonight for Cork. Really kicked on in the second half there, but three wins in the three, must be delighted.
Yeah, can't complain now. The training is very intense and we're just hoping now to get to the semi-final and drive it on from there.
It helps when you've got two wins under the belt, especially one against Galway where they won the All-Ireland Championship last year. Did you just kick on since then?
Yeah, I think the Galway game really like lifted our spirits, and I think we believe in ourselves now, and like that everything's, and like the seniors are obviously a big asset for us, so hopefully they can keep coming down and keep driving us on and keep the standard up high.
Yeah, what's it like playing with the squad? Because it's a big squad, but a lot of very talented players on it.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like, it's always so competitive, and you like there's new people down every week, so you're constantly kept on your toes, and like places aren't guaranteed. So no, it's really competitive. I really enjoy it.
And in a game like tonight, when you really kicked on in the second half, you held them scoreless. You didn't take the foot off the gas. That's important for you because it's going to be a tougher test ahead.
Yeah, I think we were disappointed with our first half. We were kind of lacking energy, and we weren't making the runs off the shoulder. So at halftime, we said that we would start at 0-0 and drive on from there and see if we could keep them scoreless and keep the bar ticking for us.
Yeah, conditions weren't great at the start with the rain and the wind, but it cleared up thankfully. But three wins out of three, Kilkenny and Tip to come, and some big tests ahead, but you just want to keep the momentum going, I'd imagine.
Yeah, Kilkenny next weekend, now that'll be a tough battle, so hopefully we can drive it on and beat them.
Okay, well done, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from the Cork Camogie under-23s there. Moving on to basketball, which is always big business here in Cork. And it's a big day for two Cork sides tomorrow in the Super League Finals. In the men's Super League final, Ballincollig will look to make it a league and cup double as they face Killester. We'll hear from their player Latrell Josel shortly. While in the women's Super League final, UCC Glanmire face Trinity Meteors in the first of the two finals at the National Basketball Arena. Rory caught up with their coach, the legendary Mark Scannell, during the week.
I'm with Glanmire coach Mark Scannell, ahead of a massive, massive weekend for the club. Mark, first off, for you, how many finals is this?
I don't know how many finals, we haven't lost too many, but we're going for 11 title, which is unbelievable really in the last 20 years. You know, we've won 10 up to now. I think we might have lost two finals in the league in those kind of in that space of time, but we're going for number 11, so we're looking forward to it.
What keeps coming back every year?
Actually, look, I enjoy that. I mean, I enjoy coaching. I really do. I think it's a great community, great club here, you know. My own daughters came through the club, so you always kind of feel you owe them kind of for that, you know, because they've got to see the world because of the basketball and because of being playing with Glanmire. But look, the younger girls inspire you, but the veteran girls that keep coming back and keep putting in the work is just amazing to see, you know. Like I have great respect for Claire and Anya and Miriam in particular, even though all the other girls make a fantastic commitment, but theirs is above and beyond. And, you know, that just keeps us going. And we're always kind of knocking on the door. The last 2 years we've been kind of struggling a little bit, going through a kind of a rebuild. But the commitment this year, just the way the team gelled and the way everybody kind of worked together was something to really enjoy.
Yeah, what clicked? What's the difference between them?
I think the two Americans, when they came first, we kind of went a different road this year. We went for two scoring. Normally, our Irish players are always our top scorers, and that's been the reason why we've won so much down through the years. But this year, we went for two kind of guard forward type players who were exciting players. I really, you know, I took my time and I got two players that I thought would fit in, you know. But for that to work, then the rest of the team had to sacrifice a little bit, and then all the younger players really had to step up, because most of our younger players are playing in the taller spots down around by the basket, rebounding and so on, and that's the hardest jobs, you know. But they did it, you know, and the Americans took a bit of time to settle down, but once kind of December came around, we started just to click into gear. But again, it's just hard work, and it's just a bit of gelling and a bit of patience.
And Jewel names as on the All-Star team today, being the second All-Star team.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm kind of disappointed because I thought both of them should have been on the first team. That's how good the two of them are, you know. But it's brilliant, and it's brilliant for Claire, you know, after all the years that she's put in. You know, she has two young kids and she still comes to training the same as everybody is, and for her to make the tour team and Anya to get a nomination for an All-Star, just fantastic, you know.
I was at your quarter-final, your semi-final down the Marlick Arena, two fantastic games. The quarter-final against Brunel particularly was proper local derby.
Yeah, yeah.
Two of you were baiting the sugar with each other for an hour and a half. It was brilliant.
Yeah, like, look, the local derbies are something else. You know, Brunel are a young team. You know, they're tough. We did, you know, over the last couple of years, they've probably beaten us more often than we've beaten them. So that was a kind of a special game to win. It was a big game. It was like there was a lot at stake. And, you know, thanks be to God we came through it, you know. But it's but again, like, look, it's basketball in Cork, as we know. You know, there's loads of great rivalries. Us and Brunel are one. You know, you have Ballincollig in the final as well this weekend, obviously, and them with Demons and Neptune. So basketball is going well in the city at the moment. Some great pros playing for the teams, and I know some teams struggled this year, but they still give us loads of entertainment. It's great. It's a great watch.
I spoke to Jewel yesterday at the media day, and she talked about the bond that's in that dressing room. That must be a huge part of the success you've had this year.
Yeah, but you know, like, I'd love to take credit for that. Like, but I always say, like, my responsibility is what kind of happens between the white lines. But you have to give great credit to the team itself and the younger girls and to, like, Savonia for that. Like, I know Anya Delacorte, our team manager, and Kenny Clark, my assistant coach, they do a brilliant job as well. And Anya in particular, getting, you know, doing little things for the girls, for the American girls, for the college girls. We've a lot of girls in college, and for them it's tough as well. They're coming, you know, they're coming from other parts of the country, and they're coming into a kind of a club with a huge tradition here, like, and they're carrying it on. And I suppose that's the great unique thing with UCC for us, having that, you know, amalgamation with UCC means that we get some really good players from around the country. And the thing about it is that when they come to Cork, they usually don't go back, you know, which is a good thing, right?
It's always a good thing, right? Talk to me about Trinity Meteors and the games you've had against them this year.
Yeah, they've been tough games, you know. We beat them early in the season in Cork, in the Mardyke. We're hard to beat in the Mardyke. But then even in that game, we were up, I don't know, 14 or 15 points, kind of, in the middle of the fourth quarter, but they made a big run at the end. I didn't think we were going to lose, but they made it a 5 or 6 point game, so they're very dangerous, you know. Same up there, we played them just recently there, maybe about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and again we were in control of the game. We kind of lost, maybe we got a bit complacent, but they came right roaring back into the game, and in the end we needed a V&A jump shot to get us into overtime, and thanks be to God we beat them in overtime. So, like, we're not taking anything for granted. It's going to be a really tough game, you know. They're a team on a mission. They have some really good players, so like, we've been the good news is that we've had 2 weeks to prepare for these. So we kind of, you know, we know where we're going with it.
I was going to say, like, the 2 week break, like, some people prefer to be playing straight away. But do you, as a coach, obviously need that 2 weeks in the court with the girls just to make sure everything's okay?
Yeah, we had intervarsities there, so some of our girls were involved with UCC last weekend. And then we had a few injuries. Anya was struggling a bit with an injury, Miriam with her back. So they've had a little bit more time to work those kind of knocks out, you know. So I think we're fairly full fitness now. We'll train out, you know, tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, and we'll head up to Dublin Saturday, maybe get a shooting session Sunday morning. And you know, we've a lot of experience, the girls have, and we'll try and treat it like any other game, but sure, it never is.
You know, is it hard to keep a lid in the girls then in the week building up to it, come up to the game?
It is, yeah, it is. But I suppose I probably made a mistake this year in the cup semi-final, in that We made it a lot about Kilesta, who were going really well at the time, and we were unlucky. We lost by a few points at the end. It was a good game, but I swore this time we were going to keep it about us and kind of try and keep things as normal as possible. And that's what we've tried to do, you know. Like, I know it's great and it's brilliant for all the kids to be coming up to Dublin to watch us play now on Sunday, but for us it's just another basketball match. At least it should be, and hopefully the occasion doesn't get in the way. And if we can play the game and do what we've been doing all year, I think we'll be hard to beat.
The National Basketball Arena, is at a place you kind of revere as kind of like this holy ground of Irish basketball?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've been saying all along, like, for Jewel and for V in particular, like, Claire and Anya and Annalise Mead, they've all been there before and done that. But, like, I just think that place is very suitable for the two Americans we have. They love the big stage, they love the limelight, they love the, like, you saw them in the Mardyke over the last few weeks, the bit, you know, the bit of music and the good banter from the crowd, they absolutely relish that. So I think, like, I've been saying all year, if we could just get to the National Basketball Arena, you'd hope that those two would excel there, you know.
Yeah, there's a great bus here in Upper Glenmire tonight. There'll be a big crowd up for you on Sunday as well.
Yeah, there's a bus going from Super Value Sunday morning, and there's a lot of us going up on Saturday. Obviously the team are going up, but a lot of the families that follow us, they'll probably head up the road a bit earlier as well, you know. So I think we'll have a big following in one of the stands you know, on Sunday afternoon.
And if the Ballincollig fans get in as well and give you a hand,
yeah,
great,
yeah, it's a pity really they kind of split it in two sessions, but I'm sure there'll be, you know, there's a lot of links between both clubs, so let's hope that like they'll give us a bit of extra support and maybe vice versa, you know.
Finally, Mark, for you personally, like, do you get nervous this week? Do you get nervous on match days? Like, you're a veteran of semi-finals. Are the butterflies still there in match day?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you're always questioning, have I enough done? You know, have we enough done? Am I pushing them too hard? Am I not pushing them hard enough? So, like, and the nerves are really, like, is the preparation enough? Yeah, have we done enough? And I said there a while ago, I suppose what I've learned from a bit of experience down through the years is that you use what got us here. And, like, we've been really good up to now. You know, we've prepared well for all the games. We're just doing the exact same thing again. But I'm sure if things don't go away next Monday morning, I'll be tearing the hair on my head saying, what more could we have done? Yeah. But hopefully the preparation's okay. But yeah, I definitely get nervous. Before the game, I'd be very nervous. And I think I always felt as a player, and for my own players, you have to have nerves. I mean, before the big games, you have to be nervous and you have to have those kind of butterflies to be ready to go. So when that stops, maybe I'll stop coaching, you know.
Mark, a pleasure, buddy. Best of luck on Sunday.
All right, thanks a million. Much appreciated.
Unfortunately, due to the time, it looks like I won't get to play the interview with Latrell Jossel of Ballincollig, but we do have one here from Jewel Watkins.
What are the excitement levels like heading into Sunday's game?
Super, super excited. This is actually my first championship, you know, so I'm overly excited.
Yeah, I'd imagine there's kind of an extra kind of buzz in training. I suppose everyone's kind of eager to get going.
Yeah, definitely. The 2 week break from our last game was like, you know, like just wanting to just get right to the game, but you know, it's here, so excited.
Yeah, I was at the Mardic Arena today to watch your quarterfinal and your semifinals. Two very hard games, especially the game against Brunel in the quarterfinal, which is a really good local derby and a good contest.
Yeah, those were some hard games. Brunel especially, that was a hard game, but, you know, we made it.
You certainly did. What are you expecting now from your opponents on Sunday? And, like, I suppose, what were the games like against them this year?
Both times we played Trinity, they've been, you know, close games. You know, our last game against them, we did take a lead, but, you know, they came back. And, you know, we actually won in overtime. So, you know, we don't expect an easy game at all. We know it's going to be challenging. So, you know, we're just trying to, you know, prepare for everything, honestly.
And Jewel, I suppose, talk to me a little bit about the players in the squad and I suppose the bond that you guys have.
We have a really good group. Anya, you know, being our captain, our point guard, you know, she's just a great point guard, great energy on the team, for the team. Just, you know, following her, Claire, great energy on the floor, fearless, you know, Emer, she's young, but she's, you know, stepped up greatly this year, you know, getting experience being on the national team, also, you know, Annalise, and then, you know, just Miriam, like, you know, more experience and also V coming in with, you know, her great shooting ability, so... Honestly, you know, we really have all the pieces. So, you know, we're excited.
Thanks, Jewel. Best of luck Sunday.
Thank you.
So, Jewel, I suppose for you, I've got to ask you about, like, you know, playing with Mark as a head coach. Like, what's that experience been like for you?
It's been a good experience. Mark is a very, he's very, like, tough on me. And I need coaching like that. I like to be pushed and I like to, you know, have everything pulled out of me. So he's definitely done that for me this year.
You were saying it's your first championship game. So how far back in your playing time, like going to school or whatever, was the last time you had to play for a championship?
Probably high school. High school is probably my last, you know, championship. But, you know, my 4 years in college, we lost the first round every year. So I made it out the first round. I made it out the second round. So... you know, we're here.
Excellent. And so for you, because obviously it's been a proper road for Glanmire this year. Like, I remember seeing all early in the season against Colchester, you were still very much finding your way. So he was in the semi-finals. You were along the way, but not there yet. Like, do you feel you're there yet as a team, or where do you? What? How do you feel you've improved?
Yeah, no, I think we definitely improved, especially just, you know, hitting the new year. We just clicked. It did take us a minute to kind of like find our rhythm and, you know, really get that chemistry. But I think we definitely have found it. You know, we've learned how to play in those close, tough games. That was kind of our kryptonite early in the season. We will always lose, you know, close games at the end, you know, end of the game. So, you know, we've had different challenges and experiences that, you know, we've learned from. And, you know, I think we are ready.
Like, to y'all, because obviously you're going into against an opponent that you've said yourself, you know them well, very tight both times. Like, what's it going to take for Glanmire to get the win in this?
Honestly, it's just going to take us to make all the right plays, to just be smart. You know, our turnovers last time really hurt us. So just, you know, not giving them the ball, rebounding, you know, they got a lot of old boards on us. So, you know, rebounding, boxing them out, just like attacking every area, you know, hard the whole game. Like, we have to do everything for the whole game.
And so where in the U.S. is home for you originally, Jill?
I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus. So will you have any family watching on Sunday?
Yes, I will have a lot of family watching.
Like, so for them, have you been able to sort of explain to them just how big this is, how important this is, or do they see national championship again? This is huge.
Yeah, no, this is huge. This is huge. You know, my family was just actually down here. So my mom did get to see our first and second, you know, playoff games. So,
great.
You know, they did travel back home. So they'll, you know, they'll all be watching.
And you were saying there's been a 2-week break between the semi and the final. You were saying obviously part of it, like you'd rather get out of the way. But have you guys been able to refine a few things with that extra time?
Yes, no, definitely. We've definitely been able to, you know, work on, you know, things on this break. You know, it also has been good just physically, you know, not having a game this weekend and kind of being able to rest and recover. So, you know, it has been a good 2 weeks break.
All right, that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Safe travels to everyone headed to the park tomorrow for the footballers' clash against Limerick.